ABC Radio Australia.
A group of former Pacific leaders have launched a blistering attack on Australia over the AUKUS partnership with the United Kingdom and the United States. The group includes Marshall Islands' Hilda Heine, Palau's Tommy Rengomasau, Tuvalu's Enele Sopoanga, and Kiribati's Anote Tong. And they say the staggering $368 billion allocated to nuclear-powered submarines could be better spent on supporting climate change initiatives. They're also accusing Australia and its two allies of triggering an arms race and demonstrating a complete lack of recognition for the climate change security threat faced by island nations. Joining us this morning is one of the signatories, former president of Kiribati, Anote Tong. Maori, and welcome to Pacific Beat, Mr. Tong.
Maori, and good morning to you.
Now, Mr. Tong, Australia and the other countries say that AUKUS doesn't violate the Rarotonga Treaty, which is the South Pacific nuclear-free zone, because we're talking about nuclear-fueled submarines rather than weapons. Do you agree with this position?
Well, I think one of the aspects of the treaty is really not many people, I don't know if our leaders are aware of the full content of the agreement and what's intended. And, you know, it's about consultation and awareness.
Does it violate the treaty in your opinion?
Well, it has the potential to do that. I mean, what from what we hear that's been planned, there are nuclear submarines under consideration. I think, you know, that would seem to be in contradiction to the vision of our former leaders of a peaceful and a harmonious Pacific. I think the history of nuclear, what happened with the nuclear tests and the past experiences with World War II, and, you know, that's something that we never want to have a repeat of.
Now, Mr. Tong, one of the reasons behind AUKUS is that it's seen as something that's necessary for peace and security. Do you feel that this is AUKUS necessary for the Pacific's future peace, security, and prosperity?
You know, I'm sure we see things from a different perspective, and the perspective of the Pacific Islands is very clear that the greatest security threat has always been climate change, and you know, to go in a different direction would appear to detract from the focus that we'd hoped our region and the global communities as a whole would focus on, which is about trying to deal and tackle with the climate crisis, which has the potential to you know, really destroying our homes and eventually the planet as a whole.
Mr. Tong, other Pacific countries like Fiji and even Cook Islands, they say they're reassured by Australia and others around AUKUS, and they haven't raised any opposition to having nuclear-powered subs in the region. I wonder why, if AUKUS is such a problem, why are these countries okay with it and not opposing AUKUS?
I don't know the level of consultation. I know, I understand that they've had closer consultations with the U.S. and possibly Australia on the details of what's involved in AUKUS. And I think this is what is missing, because there needs to be wider consultations so that other Pacific leaders are fully aware, and the rest, the Pacific community is about the people in the Pacific. What AUKUS has the potential to do is, if it's going to be a security, provide security for the Pacific, then I believe the people need to be aware so that they can go along with it. But I think it's, again, it's about the consultation process, which is perhaps needs a bit more, you know, wider the consultation.
Yes, speaking of consultation, last week, Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown, he had raised concerns about AUKUS and that it might contravene the Treaty of Rarotonga. Then he traveled to the United States, and now he's made a public statement saying he's reassured. Do you think that change in opinion came about because there was more details, more consultation when he was in the United States?
Well, obviously something has made him change his mind. And I think if it's for good reason and there are no risks, and in fact, the vision under the Rarotonga Treaty and for a nuclear-free Pacific will remain, then obviously I think the rest of the Pacific and the people need to know so that, and of course, if we were aware of all of the details, perhaps we would not be issuing a statement like that.
Now, the Pacific Elder Statement has just come out, and this has been the news about AUKUS has been out for a while. Has there been a lot of thought by Pacific Elders about the position on AUKUS? And if you can share us about the process and how the Pacific Elders came about with this statement.
Well, the statement is based on what is in the public, what information is available in the public domain. And of course, obviously, what's happened is there's a lot more information that's available and perhaps could put the minds of people in the Pacific at rest. And perhaps this is what's happened with the Prime Minister from the Cook Islands after consultation, closer consultation with the United States. And so perhaps this is something that is needed, further awareness so that we can all be reassured that it's not harmful to our peace and security in that part of the world.
You're listening to Pacific Beat. I'm Evan Wasuka, and on the show with me this morning is the former president of Kiribati, Onete Tong, who's also a Pacific Elder, and we're talking about AUKUS and security in the Pacific. Now, Mr. Tong, do you think the Pacific Islands Forum should have a greater say in AUKUS and what's happening in terms of international security and how it affects the region?
Well, I think it's the old story of us being in the middle and everything being discussed around us. I think the Second World War happened without any consultation with us, but it absolutely impacted on our people. The climate change is something that's discussed on the other side of the world. It's none of our making, but it's going to destroy our homes. And I hope AUKUS is something that would not do that. But again, it's being done around us, but not with us. And I think this is something that needs to be maybe revisited.
The other aspect of this is the amount of money involved in this nuclear-powered submarine deal. We're talking about $368 billion, which is a huge amount of money to be spent on security and defense. Do you think that could be better spent on climate change adaptation and mitigation in the region?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, As a region, the Pacific has been for many, many years, as much as 30 years, trying to get some kind of a global agreement on the loss and damage so that we can do something about repairing what it is that are being damaged with the impacts of climate change, the future, our future. Many of the countries on the front line, like Kiribati, Tuvalu, the Marshall Islands, the low-lying atoll islands, their future is going to be totally jeopardized because of the impacts of climate change. We need huge resources in order to build our climate resilience to survive into the future. And we've been looking around for the resources, but they've not been available. So they are indeed available, but not for our purposes.
Now, Mr. Tong, as the president of Kiribati, you were at the front line of this campaign on climate change across the globe, building up that awareness. Looking on as a Pacific Elder now, how do you feel the world has progressed towards dealing with climate change? Are you more optimistic, or what's your feelings now?
Well, I think it's so inspiring to see a lot more action, the young people taking up action. But I think one only needs to read the reports of the IPCC, and what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is saying is nothing has changed. We're still heading towards that off the cliff, off the edge. And the future of countries like Kiribati, Tuvalu, the Marshall Islands, is now predicted that before the prediction was that we would survive until the end of the century. Now it's being moved forward to by 2060, our islands will be submerged, indicating that we are actually damaged at a higher rate than what was originally estimated.
Now, Mr. Tong, finally, I just want to ask you about the Pacific Elders. Now, some would say that the Pacific Elders are no longer elected leaders of their countries. So the important thing, I guess, is why should the public listen about what the Elders are saying and their statements? What's your thoughts about this?
Well, I think the difference between elected officials, elected parliamentarians and the non-elected former leaders is that we've had the benefit of experience. We no longer are guided by the political the priorities. Our focus is on the people. I mean, I'm talking about the future of my 20-odd grandchildren. And it's not about whether I get reelected next time or not. So I believe we are talking about real issues, about real people, not about to be influenced whether we win the next election or we do not. And I think that is something that we can put into the debate, which may not always be available for elected officials.
Mr. Tong, thank you very much for joining us this morning on Pacific Beat.
Thank you.
That's Anote Tong, former Kiribati president and a member of the Pacific Elders.